Welcome back to Preps Today with John Millay. We have sports. We also have continuing news updates about what exactly is going on with the shutdown, how it affects high school sports, what is still continuing, what the future might hold. So let's talk to John about all those things. Thanks to our longtime sponsor, Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. And once again, I want to thank everyone who listens to the network. Good week to do that. Thank you for listening to the network. Thank you for listening to this show. As always, the best way to listen is to subscribe at your favorite podcast app, either this show or the network as a whole. The network is talknorth.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at talknorthpod and see all the shows as they are released, including all of our outdoor content and our new hockey show. If you'd like to advertise with this show or the network, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at talknorth.com. And thanks, as always, to our producer, Brandon Morton. All right, John. Let's start here. We are in the midst of a shutdown. What do you have for us?
Yeah, we are in the midst of it, Jim, for a month here till December 19th as it stands right now. And this is Thanksgiving week. So in any normal year, this is the week of the Prep Bowl. We would be having 7 football state championship games Friday and Saturday this week, if not for this worldwide pandemic. So we're in the governor's mandated shutdown. You know, restaurants, bars are closed, you know, other than takeout, and no high school sports, anything. There's no practices, no captain's practices, in the hopes of getting these numbers down, you know, just lowering the rates of COVID. So, and I tweeted something earlier today. We're talking here on Tuesday afternoon. Our challenge now is to do the right thing and mask up, avoid gatherings. And I tweeted this. I just said, wear a mask, avoid gatherings. So when your school slash teams are back to normal, you will know you played a positive role in making that happen. Or don't, and play that role. It's up to us. And it really is. I mean, this is what it's going to take. We got to get this pandemic under control as much as possible. We've got to do everything we can. I believe science, and I trust these doctors. If you've ever seen Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University of Minnesota on TV, that guy knows his business, and I trust everything he says. So, and you know, it's Thanksgiving, people are going to gather, and you know, that is what it is. But I just think we all need to pull together here. I'm not going to say we need to row the boat. That maybe has been overused, but we need to pull together, and hopefully by December 19th, we can have winter sports teams starting practice. So, you know, and you know, like I said, no Prep Bowl this year. Games ended in football and volleyball on Friday, and I went down to Waseca for a football game. And I did that because when the fall season started, the first day of competition in fall sports, I went to Waseca to watch a girls' tennis match against St. Peter, and decided to try to end it in a similar fashion. You know, in that day, I think it was August 24th, it was hot and humid and sunny. And this last Friday night down there, it was really cold. I can admit, I went to my car at halftime and cranked up the heat, and I did not come out right away when the game resumed. But it was a fun night in Waseca. This was one of these strange football games, you know, section championship game. 3A Section 1, Waseca beats Plainview, Elgin, Millville 23-8. But like with everything else this fall, the scores aren't going to be what people remember. But after the game, you know, and I went down there not sure what I'd come home with. And as I was watching the game, the story kind of presented itself to me in two football players at Waseca. Ryan Dufault is a quarterback. Kyrese Willingham, receiver. They both also play on defense. I know Ryan did a lot. Yeah, Kyrese did too. They're going to play college basketball. Ryan's going to be, you know, in this first class of Division I players at St. Thomas. Kyrese is going to Mankato to play college basketball. And, you know, those kids like that have really had a rough time here. They won their section boys basketball championship last winter, and we're ready to go to state. And then, you know, everything was shut down by COVID. And they had a really good football team. They were looking forward to, you know, if there was a state tournament, to making a nice run. They lost one game this year. So I chatted with those two, and I'm working on a story I'll put up here, hoping to kind of put all this in some kind of perspective. But yeah, it was a, it's weird when I wrap my arms around this fall season. You know, it started in Waseca and it ended in Waseca, and I'm going to try to, like I said, write something to kind of put that in perspective. It was really interesting. I talked to Brad Wendland, the football coach down there, and he has real fears about just the mental health of kids if winter sports don't happen. I think even during this 4-week break, he said, I worry about these kids because, you know, being in an extracurricular activity, as we all know, is really important for kids, whether it's on the basketball team or the chess team or speech or debate or whatever it is. It's really important. And most of these schools now, it's more and more, are not in school in Waseca. They're going to finish this semester with distance learning for everybody in the high school. And coaches are concerned about these kids. So that'll be part of this story, too. There's danger here, and we've all got to help. And you and I don't have kids at home, but if we did, you know, you'd be, you know, making sure everybody's doing okay and doing everything you can. So it's a strange, strange time. That's how I'm going to sum up that portion of the show.
No question. Of course, John is the prep guru, prep writer for MSHSL.org. You can find his work at John's Journal at that website. Of course, John, long newspaper career. We were colleagues at the Star Tribune. And I also highly recommend another Star Tribune reporter, Jill Burkham. You know, you can't make a good decision if you don't have good information. Trust real journalists, trust science, trust journalists who refer to science. Jill Burkham is the top of the heap in all those categories. Check her out to keep updated on what's going on with COVID. And, of course, stay up to date with John for anything involving prep sports. All right. You mentioned a low point. What is your low point, John?
We had a really disappointing thing happen over the weekend here, Jim. I'm not going to name the school or the team, but a photo circulated. It's of a high school volleyball team standing with an adult male who I understand is not the coach, but he's a father. And they're all standing kind of, you know, half the team on either side of him. He's standing up straight. They're kind of crouched down. Some might have been kneeling. And they're hiding the logo or the name of the school on their shirts. So clearly they didn't want to be there. They had issues. And this dad is wearing a t-shirt that says Walls Sucks. And these poor girls have been, I'm not blaming any high school kids for any of this, but some adults thought this would be cute to take a picture and have all these high school kids smile and point to the shirt and covering up the logo, you know, on their jerseys. It was originally posted on the Let Them Play Facebook page. I understand it was taken down. I don't have access to that page. It's a private page, but it was brought to my attention, and I did some photoshopping, and I scrubbed out the wording on the t-shirt and tweeted it, and it circulated pretty widely. Everybody who saw it, they know what school that was, and I understand that they've talked to high-ranking people at the high school league, and they've apologized, and they're embarrassed, and they should be. I'm not blaming any administrators who I'm sure weren't aware of this. It's just adults using kids, I guess, for a political agenda. I don't know, but it was a stunt. It was very disappointing. I hope we don't ever see that again. I hope it's a teachable moment for everybody involved and everybody who saw it. That's just the wrong way to go about things, using high school kids for efforts like that. So that was the low point for me this fall. I don't talk about a lot of low points because there aren't many, and I ignore most of them, but this one was just so blatant and so disgusting that I just wanted to mention it here.
I'm glad you brought it up. That is ridiculous, and I don't know what the ramifications can be, but good Lord, people just need to stop making fools of themselves. I tell you what, whenever I hit a low point, you know what I do? I eat pizza.
There you go.
So to cheer ourselves up, we're going to talk about one of our favorite people, one of our favorite businesses, Jody Stay and Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com.
Yeah, they've done so much for so many here, Jim. And even with the closing of restaurants and bars, Pizza Barn's open. You can order takeout, delivery. They have curbside pickup. They'll make it as convenient as possible. That includes their beverage cooler. It's full service. And remember, the November pizza of the month was mac and cheese. I guess it still is. We're still in November. Boy, it seems like we forget what month it is, but it still is November. The mac and cheese. It's very popular, the annual pizza of the month. So we're thrilled that the Pizza Barn and Jody and all her crew are part of our podcast. As we talked about last week, their Thank a Ref pizzas that they deliver to officials working in Princeton. You know, there are no officials. There's no games right now, but as soon as we get going again, those Thank a Ref pizzas are going to be back, and that'll be a good time for everybody.
If we can get through the holidays without infecting our entire communities, if we can get to the point where we're relatively safe and then get vaccines rolling, I'm buying pizza at Pizza Barn for me, you, Brandon, Jody, whoever wants to stay. I show up. I can't wait for that because I love their pizza. I love their atmosphere. I love the way they serve their community. All right, let's get back to some sports here. Final rankings, John.
Yeah, we're at the end of the fall. As we said, we do have the final rankings for volleyball. The number one teams are Wayzata in Class 3A, Stuartville in 2A, Waterville, Elysian, Morristown in 1A. The total, the top 10 in all the classes are posted on the MSHSL Facebook page. I tweeted them out when I got them. And here by midweek, here before Thanksgiving, we should have the final football rankings. Now, the Associated Press does those. And this is interesting. There's been some little debate on Twitter, people going back and forth over, you know, name a class and which team should be number one and why. And these are going to be mythical state champions. Someone asked me, is the high school league going to recognize these teams that finish number one in the rankings as state champions? And no, we're not. As far as the high school league is concerned, you know, section champions, that's as far as we're going. And you know, section champions have trophies for that, and the runners up have trophies. So these are all mythical volleyball and football this year, but it'll be interesting to see the football rankings. And that's always, I haven't tweeted much rankings this year, just because the oddness of this season, knowing we weren't going to have state tournaments. I don't know that rankings, you know, were as important this year as most years if people were as interested. But once we've got the football rankings, I'll post those on the MSHSL Facebook page, just like I did with volleyball, and I'll tweet them out a class at a time, the top 10s. It'll be fun to see what the AP voters come up with.
Absolutely. Well, cheer me up with some good stuff now.
Yeah, there have been some great things just in this last week here, Jim. I'm going to mention three things I saw on Twitter. The Janesville Waldorf Pemberton volleyball Twitter account tweeted out a big thanks to Medelia. So this was the final volleyball match of the season at Medelia. And it was senior night at Medelia. And JWP, they never got a senior night at home. It just didn't work out because of COVID, the season ending early. But on Medelia's senior night, they also honored the seniors from the visiting team, which is pretty spectacular. So way to go, Medelia. Way to go, Janesville, Waldorf, Pemberton. That's just sportsmanship right there. A neat little video tweeted from Spring Lake Park High School and from their football game, their last football game. A senior named Evan. I'm gonna botch Evan's last name's Furtorivicious, something like that. Number 80, Spring Lake Park football, he suffered a season-ending injury before the start of the season, did not play until the last game. He got in. It's either an extra point or a field goal. It looked like an extra point to me. He got to go in and line up and get a snap in, and they played Irondale, so they worked this out. You know, both teams talked about this, so the Spring Lake Park tweet thanked Irondale football for helping make this happen. That's a pretty special moment for that young man and both teams. And then from Totino Grace, they tweeted that students sent more than 100 handwritten thank you notes to Hennepin County Medical Center healthcare workers, just to thank everyone serving on the front lines of this pandemic. And then my colleague at the high school league, Amy Doherty, retweeted this, and she wrote, "This would be a terrific idea for a winter sports team currently sidelined. Pick a local healthcare facility, set a team goal for number of cards and letters, challenge a rival team." And there are also plenty of long-term health facility residents who could use a pick-me-up. So that's a tremendous idea there. You know, a team, since you can't practice or you can't be together right now, but you could do things like this. So a great thing from Totino Grace, a great idea from my colleague Amy Doherty.
That is awesome. Good stuff. Yeah. And thank you for giving some good stuff to talk about. I appreciate it. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
You know, generally our drill is, since we have the prep bowl here, we don't travel because I need to be here. So we would have, some relatives from Iowa come up. You know, we have a son and his girlfriend in Phoenix. They might come. Our son and daughter-in-law in California, our grandson. who's closing in on 16 months. You know, generally some of those folks would be here, not this year. You know, it'll be my wife and I and our daughter who lives about 15 miles away. She's a teacher. She's been teaching from home, so she's been quarantining, and she feels like it's okay to come hang out with mom and dad on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, it's going to be very quiet, very peaceful, but it's going to be weird because I'm so used to, you know, the next day, the day after, getting to U.S. Bank Stadium early in the morning and having a great couple days. So this will be different, but, you know, we're safe. We're going to be here. Our kids are safe and happy and healthy, so we are definitely giving thanks. What are your plans here, Jim?
Yeah, we're staying home, my wife and I, the dogs. We decided to order takeout turkey from a local restaurant. We want to support, you know, first of all, I don't want Stacy to have to work that hard just to feed me. Right. second of all, it helps support the economy. You know, we do try to do takeout when we can from local restaurants. So we're just going to sit around. And frankly, covering the Vikings and the NFL and sometimes prep sports, so often yeah. I'm either traveling or working on Thanksgiving. Listen, I'm not happy about the overall circumstances, but I am happy to be sitting home eating turkey and watching football on TV instead of the usual being on the road. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving Detroit. Hey, listen, I have a great job. I have a great job, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining about my job because I have one of the best jobs in the country. But I'll take Thanksgiving at home over Thanksgiving in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it just for a change. I sure hope I'm not sitting at home Thanksgiving week a year from now. But
right,
you know, this we can do it this one time. We can keep our gatherings small and hope for better days ahead.
Yeah, I think if we can all be a little disciplined during the holidays, then things are shaping up to be better next year. We just have to get there.
You bet.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thanks to everyone who listens. You know, this is Thanksgiving week. I've been saying this on all of our shows. Thanks so much for listening. We do appreciate it. If you like the shows, tell somebody about them. Spread the word. We've been kind of just trying to maintain here during the pandemic. We really are hoping for big things in 2021 for us, for you, for everyone, for the country. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, and we will talk to you next week.